So for my latest e-bike update, I wanted to share what I've learned about e-bikes so far. I'm about 5 weeks, 6 weeks nearly into this year-long e-bike experiment. And the whole purpose of it was to find out what all the pain points are, so that if there are any residents out there considering doing the same and maybe using an e-bike a bit more instead of their car, or certainly to replace some car journeys, then you can find out what the pain points are through me so that you don't have to experience them, I suppose. And I've experienced already in such a short space of time a lot of those pain points or barriers. So these are the things that I've learnt. First of all, there are different kinds of e-bikes. Just like normal bikes, there are lots of different kinds. You've got the mountain bikes, you've got the road bikes, you've got hybrid bikes that go off-road and on-road, and lots of different bikes in between all those different types. The bike that I went for was a hybrid fat tire bike, because I knew that as well as going on road, I would be doing quite a bit of off-road, because I'll be using the Basingstoke Canal to commute to some of my work assignments, and the Blackwater Valley path to get to the various train station connections, to take my bike on the train and go on from there. So that was the bike that I chose, but even so, there are different kinds of motors that you can have for your e-bike. So for instance, there are mid-drive motors that sit between the pedals and power the pedals or assist your pedaling from that point of the bike. Or there are hub motors. You can have rear or front hub motors. Most dedicated rear or hub motor bikes are in the rear. But if you buy a conversion kit, so you can convert a normal bike, they tend to be front hub drive motors. Now, knowing what I know now, I would probably, if I was going to buy an e-bike from scratch, and if money wasn't an object, I probably would go for a mid-drive. And the reason being is that they are much more reliable. They don't tend to go wrong as much. They're a bit more robust. They're made by Bosch, so the same people who make drills and power tools. So they've got a lot of experience with electric motors, and they've applied that experience to the e-bike market. And where you buy a mid-drive e-bike, the chances are it will be a Bosch motor there. They make most of them, and all the top brands go for Bosch motors. So Rally, a bike company that most people will have heard of in the UK, they make fantastic e-bikes, and all their bikes have Bosch mid-drive motors. And probably the best e-bike manufacturer around, they're sort of known as the McLaren of e-bikes, and they're a company called Riese Müller. They also use the Bosch system in all their e-bikes. And like I say, knowing what I know now, and if I could afford it, if I was going to buy an e-bike today, it would probably be a mid-drive with a Bosch motor in it. And if I could afford it, I probably would go for the Riese Müller. But as that, they start from about $7,000, I don't think I'm going to be getting one of them anytime soon. The bike that I purchased, by the way, has a rear hub motor, and made by the number one e-bike brand in America, so should be quite reliable. But anyway, a few other things that you might want to consider if buying an e-bike, and that is, even if it's a foreign manufacturer, so if it's a non-UK based manufacturer, make sure that they have a UK distribution hub, because a lot of these firms operate from China, Taiwan, Korea, and other places. And if they don't have a UK distribution hub, then because of the global supply chain issues at the moment, and we don't know how long they're going to last for, it could be another year or 2 years, then you can, as I've been waiting for a spare part for my bike, that's where there's been a problem, it can take a long time for them to get that to you. Whereby if they have a UK distribution hub, the chances are they've got the part in their UK warehouse and they can ship it to you right away. There are a few things that people are blaming on the supply issues, COVID, Brexit. I'm not too convinced about the Brexit argument because I'd be willing to pay the duty on it. So that wouldn't be an issue, but it's not even an option with a lot of the foreign manufacturers. My bike is an American brand and they don't even give me the option to pay the duty on it. I would have paid it no problem at all because I'm that desperate for the part, but it's not, just not an option. So I'm not so sure that Brexit is the issue. I think it's more about global supply chain. I think COVID was a big factor because, you know, a lot of the factories were closed for a long time, so they're playing catch up and backlogged with all the parts, and I think that that's probably one of the main issues. The other thing that I would recommend is definitely don't just go by the reviews that you see on the manufacturer's website. Of course they're going to be good reviews, all of them. You're not going to see any bad reviews on there. I would definitely recommend you use a independent review platform like Trustpilot, for instance, and just do a search on your manufacturer. You'll find no end of reviews there. You know, if they're all awful reviews, don't touch with a barge pole. But also, you know, a bit of common sense is applied. They're all going to see, all the manufacturers are going to have some bad reviews because not everybody will be happy. But, you know, a bit of common sense and a bit of judgment to see that where most of the reviews are positive, then you're probably in with a good shout there. But definitely use an independent review network, say like Trustpilot or even Google. Now, the other big bit of advice I would give anyone who's considering using an e-bike, as like I've done, as their primary mode of transport, is consider having a second e-bike, perhaps a cheaper one, as a spare, so that if something goes wrong with it, at least you're not completely off the road. As anybody who's followed this podcast will know, I've had to rent an e-bike while my own one was out of action, and it's not a great position to be in. Another thing I would also consider, if you have the ability, is to really understand some of the basics about the mechanics of your bike. Now, I've learned so much. I've learned how to index my gears so that they shift really well. I've learned all about that. I've learned about the brakes and hydraulic brakes and how I would change those if I needed to. Obviously changing the tires, changing the inner tubes, repairing punctures, even changing the hub motor on my bike. I've learned how to do that. More often than not, you probably would go to an expert bike mechanic, but when you spent as much as I have on my e-bike, I don't really want to be spending any more right now, so I'd rather, if possible, be able to do these things myself rather than pay the extra to go to a professional bike mechanic. They've got to make a living, of course, they have their labour time and all the rest of it, and I just want to be able to save myself a little bit of money by being able to do it myself. But also it helps you really understand your bike, so if there is a problem, you can diagnose it yourself pretty quickly. So there are some of the things that I've learned in a very short space of time. Despite all the problems that I've had, I am still really enjoying my e-bike experience, and the way I feel right now, I don't think I'd probably go back to a car if I can help it. Obviously if I had to and didn't have a choice, but where, if I have the choice, I think I probably will stick with the e-bike. The way, I might change my mind in a few months' time, get fed up with it, I don't know, but the way I'm feeling right now, I'm really enjoying it and can't recommend it highly enough.